So first of all, I just want to say it's good to be back. I've been gone hunting. Last night we had our hunter's mass at 8 o'clock, and I realized that's the first hunter's mass I've celebrated as a priest. I've been a priest for 13 years. And it's not because we didn't have any hunter's masses scheduled in previous parishes. It's because I was always at camp hunting. But this year, I was here, so we had our mass for those hunters who got to stay out in the woods until dark and hopefully go drag their bucks in. However, the reports I heard weren't real good. So I always get asked, Father, how did your hunt go? So I was bow hunting over in western Wisconsin. The property that I leased with some buddies is literally, it's right on the Buffalo-Tremplo County line. So I'm pretty blessed. And I did get an 8-pointer with the bow. However, and you hunters will understand this reference, I believe I laid eyes on my first 200-inch buck live. And I saw him twice, the morning before I got mine and the morning after. And the morning after, he was on our property and heading up to the stand I was sitting in the morning before. Grr. So tomorrow, I'm going after him with a gun. And if I don't get him then, I'm going after him with a muzzleloader. So then I went up to the UP to be with my family. And so Michigan's rifle season begins on November 15th every year, no matter what day of the week that lands on. And so I, Monday morning, got my tree stand, and I sat, and I sat, and I sat. And there just aren't that many deer up there, let alone bucks to shoot. But that week was more successful than my bow hunting because I was with my family. And that's the essence of hunting as far as I'm concerned. It's a time when my whole family was always at camp and still is to this day. And so always a good, successful hunt, no matter what the buck pull looks like or doesn't look like. So as I've started out the other three masses, I'll start out with a joke in honor of hunting season. So I won't use an ethnic reference, this ethnic group or that. I'm a Youper, so I'll just use the Youpers. And nobody can be offended by that because I think I'm the only Youper here. So anyway, two Youpers were out hunting. Ano and Toivo are their names. And Ano and Toivo get lost. Toivo says to Ano, Ano, I think we are lost. He says, yeah, I know we are lost. And Toivo says, well, what do we do? He said, well, I was reading, if you're lost in the woods, shoot three times in the air and they'll come and get you. So Toivo shoots three times. Nobody comes. He says, Ano. He says, nobody showed up. What do I do next? He says, shoot three more times. So he shoots three more times. Nobody comes. Ano, I'm getting concerned. Nobody's come for us. What do I do? He says, shoot three more times. He says, I can't. He says, why not? He says, I'm out of arrows. A Youper joke. It's safe. As good as hunting is, and it is, great tradition, family bonds, friendly bonds. As good as all things are in this world, there is one that is all the more great and important, and that is Jesus Christ. And today we celebrate Jesus Christ, King of the universe. The question before us, though, today is he in fact our King? Is he your King? Is he mine? Yesterday morning at Saturday morning Mass, our reading was the story of the Sadducees trying to entrap Jesus because the Sadducees did not believe in life after death. They believe that just this world and this life is all we have, and once that's over, it's all over. There's nothing after that. And I got to thinking, how many of those Sadducees still exist today? You know, we have these lines of these different factions of, in this case, the Jews. You had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the zealots. How many Sadducees are there today? I mean, it's 2,000 years hence. Maybe tens? Hundreds? Thousands? I don't think there are thousands. I think there are billions of Sadducees today. People who do not believe in resurrection. People who do not believe that there's anything after this life, and that changes radically how we live. There are billions today, and I would even argue there are billions of Catholics who might even go to church every Sunday who don't really have an operative belief in eternal life. No, there are billions. And if there is no eternal life, then we don't need this character, Jesus Christ. Why? Except maybe if I want to use his name and his title as an expletive if things don't go my way. There's no need for him if there is no eternal life. St. Paul says as much. If he didn't rise from the dead, then our faith is in vain. And if he didn't rise from the dead, if he's not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if he is not God Almighty taking on our human nature, then I would say to you, get up and leave now and don't ever come back. Because this is foolishness. And there's a growing number of people, billions and counting, who believe just that. This is foolishness. And if Jesus Christ doesn't matter, if there is no life after death, then the adage, he who dies with the most wins, is true. Here's the problem with that. The size of the grave. How big is a grave? 3x8? There's no room for anything because we can't take anything with us except our relationships. That's the only thing we will take into eternal life, are our relationships. My brother, on Friday, we were sitting at the kitchen table. I had the truck packed and having lunch. Well, lunch in the form of scotcheroos and cookies and coffee, but nonetheless, I was eating. And my brother asked me about this one scriptural passage where the king gives talents to three different people, gives 10 to one, gives 5 to another, and gives a single talent to a third. And at the end of that story, the one who had only one did nothing with it. He put it in the ground and buried it, and then gave it back to the king upon his arrival. And the king said, take what he has and give it to the one with 10. For those who have much, more will be given. But those who have little, even what they have will be taken away. My brother said, I don't get that. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't seem fair. I said, you got to read it spiritually. Those who have much mean those who have God. And those who have God as the center of their lives, they will have even more added on. They will have an infinitude added on at the end of time. But those who do not have God, even what they have will be taken away. Even if they would have the financial and material resources of a Bill Gates, if they do not have God, when you take that last breath, it's all taken away. And it doesn't go to the grave with us. In the end, it'll be wasted away and turned into nothingness. Those who do not have God have nothing, even if they own everything. And so there are billions today who, like Pontius Pilate in our gospel, mock God. You are a king. Because the only king that Pilate knew was Caesar. And maybe for billions today, the only king that people know are maybe themselves in this relativistic world. I'm my own king. I need no one else. Dangerous, dangerous position to be in. There's a Catholic who's a prolific writer, a great, highly sought-after speaker. He's the founder of a consulting company who the company and he are sought after by Fortune 500 companies around the world. His name is Matthew Kelly. You've probably heard of him. Matthew Kelly's written many books, and I took one of his books with me to camp. The anticipation was I'd get a deer early and have time to read. Didn't work, but I got a little reading in. And he says there are four signs of a dynamic Catholic. You see, in his travels, he started to see something about certain Catholic people that stood out from the rest. They weren't banging on Bibles. They weren't walking up to people and shaking fingers saying, "You're living wrong." But there was something that set them apart. And so he did some research on thousands of people, he and his staff. And he found out, as he in his research, there were 264 different characteristics that all of these people had that seemed to set them apart. So he distilled it down to four. And the four are these. And these Catholic people who kind of, there's just something about them. They don't do these things when they fit into their schedule. They are intentional about doing them every day. And they are prayer. Every day. In fact, they don't just fit it in. They have a time carved out for God every day, like a date. Because this is a relationship. And then every day they do a little bit of study. May not be involved study, but they read a little something of the church. Spiritual book, church document, whatever it is. And then every day they are intentional about performing one act of generosity. At least one act of generosity. And the fourth is a product of all these three. Each day they evangelize. Because in doing those three things, their fourth is they make present Christ to those around them. And there's something different, something unique. And it is that in an imperfect way, they strive to make Jesus Christ their King. Let me give you two contrasting examples of what this looks like and doesn't look like. Or what, better said, what it looks like with him and what it looks like without him. Every year in January, hundreds of thousands of people, mostly Catholics but non-Catholics as well, they descend on Washington, D.C. to pray for life and to rightly protest the tragedy of Roe v. Wade. The taking of the most innocent life in the what's supposed to be the safest place, the womb of the mom. And let me just stop here, because I promised anytime I would mention abortion, I would always mention these words. Because so many have been devastatingly hurt by it. If you or anybody you know has ever been affected by abortion, the church is not here to condemn you. The priests are not here to condemn you. The bishops are not here to condemn you. And the people in the pews aren't. Rather, there's always an invitation, come and be healed. You're safe here. You're loved. You're wanted. You belong here. You're part of the family. But every year, because so many have been wounded and so many lives lost, hundreds of thousands descend on Washington, D.C. every January. You know how many arrests there are of these people each January? Zero. Zero. Do you know how much chaos ensues when they descend on Washington, D.C.? None. It's peaceful. Even the non-believing, opposing reporters and others have had to admit there's something good here. You know how much litter takes place during that march for life? None. Now contrast that with what we've seen in the news the last 2 years as example. It's not isolated to that. The protest, people who believe that they should be protesting this or that. Okay, that's fine. But what have we seen in the news? Arson? Destruction? chaos, murder, rape, pollution, rampant. What's the difference between Washington, D.C. for the March for Life and all these others? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You can't argue it. How is it that a growing billions plus keep rejecting God when the proof is in the pudding? It's right there. A world of peace when he's present and a world of chaos when he's kicked out. And yet we keep kicking them out. Not just systematically as a society, but we keep kicking them out in our own lives. I'm too busy. I got too many things going on. Eject God and eject peace. It's that simple. So the question for us again today is he king in your life and in mine? So let me bring up a few examples. Is Jesus Christ king of your time, your talent, and your treasure? In other words, do I allow him, am I detached enough from all of them to allow him to use me and those gifts he's given me for his glory and the benefit of his people? Is God king of your mind? What you allow yourself to think about? Is God king of your desires? Is God king of your goals in life? There are many, many more examples, but I'm going to bring one more up. Is God king of your bedroom? Particularly parents, husbands and wives, and it should only be that. Imagine, if you will, let me make this example. Since 1973, there have been 60 plus million children whose lives were terminated in the womb. Those are only the ones we know about. How many millions we won't know? How many have been prevented from ever being conceived through the use of contraception? That's a big number. God only knows how many. Now, and I'm not equating children to a balance sheet, but I want to make this point just to show the blessing of making God center of our lives. If those children had all been born, and then their succeeding children had been born, if you want a strong economy, a stable economy, have kids. Because they require the necessities of life. It stabilizes the economy. There's such a demand for food, shelter, clothing, and those necessities of life. You don't have to create these frivolous other marketing campaigns just to keep the money flowing. But as it is, that's exactly what our society, our economy is based on. Because there's not enough demand for the goods and services that are essential. Do we live in a way that if Jesus was sitting right next to us physically, that we'd be proud of what we say, what we do, how we think? Now, in conclusion, let me go back to Matthew Kelly. In his research, he found that only 7% of Catholics do those four things intentionally. And those 7% of Catholics do 80% of the work of the church. Well, that might seem like bad news. On one level, I guess it is. But as he points out, here's the good news. If 7% do 80%, imagine what we could do if we make that 7% 8%. Just one more percent of Catholics making Christ their king Imagine how much better this world would be. Nope. Where do you and I line up with those four signs of a dynamic Catholic? Maybe you've got them down. Praise God. Maybe there's work to be done. I know there's work to be done for this guy right here. Now, if we can make that one more percent, imagine how different the news would look at night. We would go from a society of chaos to a society of peace. So, as we celebrate the rest of this Mass of Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, let's prepare ourselves for next Sunday, where we begin to prepare ourselves to receive the King of Peace. The world will change, and we get to be a part of it. It's up to us.